Hi, and welcome to Retro Gaming Dad's podcast. On this week's show, I'm joined by Phil and Anthony. Say hi.
Hello.
Good evening.
And today we'll be talking about a fan translation of Castlevania Symphony of Night on the Sega Saturn, as well as a new Game Boy game in 2021, and a lot of Sonic the Hedgehog news.
You've been waiting for this, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Well, first up, we've got to remember, 2021 is the year of Sonic's 30th anniversary.
Has it really been that long?
It really has. It's unfortunately, it has.
Bloody hell.
I still remember seeing the original Sonic the Hedgehog back in 1991 and thinking, I need that.
I need that in my life.
That was a year. No, sorry, no. So when did Sonic come out in 1991, can I ask?
I want to say June or July.
Ooh. I wasn't even a year old.
I am shocked. I am shocked that you don't have the day that Sonic the Hedgehog released committed to memory.
I did used to, but bear in mind it's midnight that we're recording this.
Still.
So I'm going to blame it on that.
That's like not even knowing what day Sonic Tuesday is.
Yes. Sonic Tuesday. Not Tuesday. Tuesday. Back to the Sonic news. I believe you two have seen Netflix has actually confirmed that there is a new Sonic series coming to Netflix.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Now, where is it going to sit? Because I believe the theory is that Sonic cartoons go terrible good, terrible good, terrible good.
No, you're thinking of Star Trek though, I think.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Oh, okay.
As long as they don't go down the same route as Sonic Boom, then surely it should be better.
Well, it's going to be another animated one.
Yeah.
In the similar vein of Sonic Boom. Do you not like Sonic Boom, or...?
I don't know, I just kind of feel like... I mean, I think mainly the characters, the way they look... How Knuckles looks, I think, is ridiculous, in my opinion.
my biggest gripe with that is Sonic has blue arms.
Yeah.
never mind the scarf, never mind the weird dimensions. No. His arms are the wrong colour.
Hashtag cancel Sonic Boom.
Well, it's just like, you know, looking at it, you've got Knuckles who towers over them all when it used to be sort of the same height. And it's just, it's, I don't know, you look at them all together and I'm like, it's just not the same. It's not the Sonic I know.
I can kind of understand why they changed it. And
yeah,
you've got to remember that this isn't like the prime timeline of the Sonic characters. So this isn't the same set of characters that were in like Sonic 1, 2, 3, Knuckles Mania.
Well, no, I can agree with
these are different versions. A bit like with comics, you get like Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, if I remember rightly, originally Knuckles in the original games did have a slightly bigger build than Sonic and Tails.
Not particularly. The only thing I can remember is in some official artwork, he was pink rather than the more reddish colour.
Right.
I don't really have a problem with the Sonic Boom aesthetics as long as it is limited to Sonic Boom. If they made the actual main versions of Sonic like that, I'd have a lot more issue. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those toxic Sonic the Hedgehog fans, but I will find you. I will go.
Sonic, that well-known, horribly toxic community.
Yes, especially if you go into fanfic.
Let's not go there.
But actually, speaking of which, that's one thing I do like about Sonic Boom. It's very self-referential. There's quite a few times in it that they're talking about they hate the new movie because the colour of the character's legs are wrong, or one of the characters starts writing fanfic and they start reading through it and they're like, oh, I haven't got him.
You tried to escape!
Escape? No. I was just searching for more of that fan fiction of yours. Ooh, Son Amy. Spicy.
Yeah, I don't really care for that, but it seems to be obligatory in the genre.
It's very self-aware, so...
it kind of breaks the fourth dimension, they're aware of...
The fourth wall, yeah.
The fourth wall, sorry, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't travel through time and space.
No, that was Sonic X, wasn't it?
No, wrong one.
So, it is quite humorous to watch for that. The series itself, it's very... Sonic Boom, this is. It's very inoffensive. I can put it on, my son will go, hey, it's Sonic!
The day he says, I'm not a fan of Sonic, I can see you just disowning him. He's like, oh, off an edge, ego.
Absolutely. I've got the paperwork filled out and everything. So it is quite humorous, but it appears there's not an awful lot of information on this new Sonic series called Sonic Prime. Hopefully, Sonic Prime, it might be more the Sonic the Hedgehog that I know and love.
Well, apparently it is going to broach on the ideas of a multiverse.
Right, I haven't heard this bit. I've heard it's going to be it's about a journey of self-discovery.
It's going to have multiversal stuff in there, so I think it may actually have everything.
So it might include Sonic Boom, it might include the new sort of X, some of all these sort of, you know, it could include previous animes, and there'd be a lot of references. A lot of
there's not really been any Sonic animes. I suppose you could say Sonic X, and
you had Sonic X and Sonic 2006.
Sonic 2006?
Not 2006. Oh, what was it?
The OVA.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, so that was the Sonic movie before there was a Sonic movie.
Okay.
I don't think, I would imagine if it's going to go in like the multiverse sort of direction, it'd be more like you'd have classic, a bit like Sonic Generations. You've got classic Sonic, you've got modern Sonic, which is, I suppose, the one that is in Sonic X.
Mm-hmm. You've got Werehog.
And then you've got Sonic Boom. Well, the Werehog, Sonic the Werehog, is modern Sonic.
Yeah.
I suppose you've got Sonic. If you don't know what that is, that's a whole meme in itself.
I have no clue.
So I suppose they could have a couple of different Sonics in it, but I feel that's been a bit overdone with Sonic Generations and Sonic Forces.
See, I've got a bit though. Sonic Generations, I thoroughly enjoyed that. Before, obviously, Mania, I'd say it was probably one of the better outings that Sonic had had in modern times.
Mm. I must admit, it gets absolutely slated, but Sonic, if you enjoyed Sonic Mania, Sonic Forces is probably one of the better boost-style Sonic games, 3D Sonic games.
Yeah.
But I think one thing we need to obviously, you know, approach and touch upon is the fact that it's not going to have the same voice actor going into it, though, is it?
No, so Roger Craig Smith, the voice of Sonic for about a decade, is no longer going to be providing his voices to Sonic the Hedgehog. And Colleen O'Shaughnessy, I think that's how you say her name, but I absolutely apologise if I butchered that, who is the voice of Tails, won't be providing her voice for the Sonic Prime series. So I don't know if she won't be providing the voice for Tails going forward, but she has confirmed she won't be providing it for Sonic Prime.
See, I wonder who they're going to use then. There's a lot of voice actors out there.
I don't know.
The thing is, they've done so well so far, and to throw a different voice into it, you kind of don't want the voice to change too much, because I think everyone's so used to hearing the way that they sound now. So,
well, they've had a lot of Sonic voices beforehand.
Yeah,
I was going to say, changing voice actors, it happens a lot. I mean, it even happened midway through seasons. You even had some people where the voice actor was ill, so they just had a different voice actor that day. There's been many a time that animated series has done that over the years. So, as much as it sucks, I don't think it's going to be as big a deal.
Apparently, this Sonic is supposed to be different from previous incarnations. Hopefully, they won't give him a gun and make him all edgy, though.
a dark and mysterious sort of, like, you know, team breakout. Like,
no, honestly, they've tried that. Tomorrow, guys.
Yeah, didn't they also do it
really?
Yeah. They've gone through the entire emo phase, but hopefully it'll be a little bit more serious. Like, one of the versions of the Sonic cartoons that we used to watch, me and Phil, as children, was what's usually referred to as Sat AM, or as we tended to call it, Blue Streak.
Yeah.
So that was quite good, because it had a bit more of a serious freedom fighter. They were always on the back foot, weren't they?
Yeah.
It weren't as zany as The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, which was also running around the same time.
That was basically Looney Tunes, but with Sonic.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now I've got a Looney Tunes going in my head. That is just straight into my head.
Well, luckily for me and Phil, we've got the much better Blue Streak song going through our head right about now.
Yeah, that was a significantly better theme tune.
Yeah. So hopefully it might be something that's a bit more with more of a story arc over multiple episodes.
As long as they're not a band.
Yeah, as long as they're not a band, yeah. As long as he doesn't have siblings, as long as he doesn't have... Do you know what? I could write a huge list of things here.
Literally, don't have this. And then it'll come out, it's ruined. It'll come out and you just go, yeah, no, that's it.
Oh my god, his legs are the wrong colour.
I'm actually really excited for this. So for me, I only watched Sonic X and then obviously Sonic Boom as well. And my sons love watching Sonic. And so this would be another thing I can watch with them. So you I'm excited to see what they do.
You need to sit down with them and go through Sat.am, because that was a brilliant TV series.
Yes, unfortunately, it doesn't come to a conclusion at all.
Oh, did they Firefly it?
I think it was the end of the second series. Everyone thinks they were about to introduce Knuckles. So Robotnik's been defeated. Snivelly? His assistant? Comes out, from what I remember, it comes out of like a capsule that he was hiding in, and you just see these eyes in the darkness of the capsule. So everyone's like, oh, it's Knuckles, and that was it. It was never oh, really? Continued. Yeah.
It's a shame, because it probably was, certainly as when we were kids, it was one of the better incarnations of Sonic.
It was one of the better cartoons.
It was dark and gritty.
It was, but not overly so.
Yeah.
And it also had a good environmental message without it being overly obnoxious like Captain Planet.
Hey, don't you be knocking Captain Planet.
He's a hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. No, I'll stop now.
He's going to make everyone turn off now.
Yes. So, I don't know. We'll see. I believe it's not got a firm date for when it's got a release, but I think it's going to be later on this year. So I suppose we'll just have to wait and see. I'll definitely be watching it as I mooch off my brother's Netflix subscription.
As long as Jim Carrey is not Robotnik.
Do you know what? Have you seen the Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
Not, no.
Right, well, no spoilers. Do you know what? He's not that bad.
I don't know if it is noticeable, but I am not a fan of Jim Carrey.
No.
Yeah, I can tell. And
he is a budget terrible Rowan Atkinson.
No.
Stop. What? He's nothing like Rowan Atkinson. Anyway, this is a retro gaming podcast. We're not talking about.
Nope. Anyway, yeah, carry on.
So in the Sonic movie, he does pull off a good, not I wouldn't say great, but a good Robotnik. He does remind me a lot of. Do you ever remember some of the like origin stories for Sonic? Where it had Dr. Kintobo.
Yeah, Dr. Kintobo with Sonic being brown and him testing some shoes.
That's
on a running
the one.
Machine.
So he reminds me in the way he looks a lot more of Kintobo than Robotnik, or Eggman, as he's called nowadays. But no, it's a good film. You should definitely watch it. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to a sequel. I'm very thankful that they actually did listen to fans and changed how Sonic looks.
Oh, days when that first trailer came out and you saw him. Oh, he just
yes.
I died inside.
When we watched that trailer, the biggest takeaway I had was, you know what? Let's have this character that is thoroughly renowned for his speed and upbeat, almost techno music.
Yes.
Let's put as our song in the background of this trailer,
Gangster's Paradise?
Yeah.
Why? One of the consistent things about Sonic series, it might not be a good game, but it's probably going to have good music in it.
Yeah, and the music is always incredibly upbeat.
Yeah, it quite often, it does one of two things I find Sonic music. It either gets you pumped up, or it'll inspire you.
Yeah, it's always very positive music.
Yes.
It's designed to give very positive feelings. It may not always be fast, like Labyrinth Zone, but it is designed to sort of give you that feel of speed, of positivity. Gangster's Paradise is probably about as far away.
In all fairness, in the games, not just the music. I feel like the sounds that they do as well. I need to watch the movie. I need to sit down and watch it.
Yeah. But yeah, the Gangster's Paradise was a bit of a curveball.
Yeah, that first trailer was an absolute misfire. thankfully, they did listen to fans. That's not
a
nice.
Massive cost to themselves, but they should have done that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I actually think it paid off for them.
Yes.
I'll be honest. I was not going to go and pay money to watch that movie initially. If everything else was the same.
I was going to say, the cynic in me says that perhaps they had this redesign in mind all along and they wanted to incent people.
You've said this before, but they can't have, because they delayed the film so much they missed the more lucrative launch window. It cost a significant amount of money. It wasn't something that was premeditated.
Fair enough.
I'm not being funny. They could have said it's a new Sonic movie, brought out, if they had the original visual straight away, they would make money on that. Sonic, you got to remember, in the 90s, Sonic was more recognizable than Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
More people knew who Sonic the Hedgehog was than Mickey Mouse.
Fair enough.
But they did the good thing. They've done the good thing of changing it.
They did. And I think fans will definitely reward them for that. Just Netflix, don't mess this up.
please don't.
So from that, there's the deep hole that is LEGO Ideas, but it's brought out these new Sonic LEGO sets that they've confirmed.
Yeah, so these have been on a site called LEGO Ideas where people submit their own builds, and if enough people support them, LEGO will actually make them into official kits that you can purchase. So there's actually a Sonic Mania Green Hill LEGO kit, which comes with Sonic figure, a Robotnik, some Flickies, a Motobug, one of the enemies, a Badnik, Heavy Gunner, Magician Gunner, and the Death Egg Mech. And I want it.
Now, is this going to be one set, or is it actually multiple sets?
I don't know. By the looks of it, I think it's going to be one set, but potentially you might not be able to build everything in the set at the same time.
Right, because either way, it sounds like it's probably going to be an expensive LEGO kit. If it is, yes, everything.
Well, every LEGO kit's expensive nowadays.
Well, considering one year I bought my son a LEGO train set, I know exactly what that means.
Oh, for now.
But yeah, it looks really good. Obviously, this isn't Sonic's first LEGO collaboration. As far as I can tell, the actual Sonic figurine that you get with it is the same one that you get with the Sonic add-on pack for LEGO Dimensions.
Right.
LEGO seem to be doing a lot of retro gaming LEGO sets at the moment.
Well, you had the Mario set, didn't you, as well?
Yes, they also had the life-size NES. Oh, yeah. Or, to annoy all the Americans, the NES. So they're definitely getting on board with all the retro gear.
But yeah, that'd be...
It's not just... Well, Sonic. If a kid walks in, doesn't have a clue what Sonic is, then seeing his little blue ball, you know, this little blue hedgehog...
Wait, no, hang on, what do you mean, doesn't know who Sonic is? I've just told you he's more recognisable than Mickey Mouse.
No, I know, but some kids might not know.
He's not quite that recognisable as Mickey Mouse nowadays.
You can't guarantee that every single child in the world will know who Sonic is.
My son knows who Sonic is, probably doesn't know who Mickey Mouse is.
That's because he's your son. That's because he's your son.
I am bringing him up right.
My son knows both.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if, you know, say a kid walked into the LEGO Time by chance, doesn't know who Sonic is, and sees Sonic fighting this massive robot, they might be like, that's cool, I want to get it. And again, there's another generation or another kid who's
Think Sonic is particularly recognisable as a brand.
Although, in all fairness, that's not completely out of the realm of possibility, because my son, who's only two, at Christmas, we were looking through the Smiths catalogue, one of the few catalogues still you can get now, what he could get for Christmas, and he was like, Daddy, I want the robot. I'm like, yeah, okay, you want a robot. No, I want the green robot. I'm like, okay, I'll get you a green robot. Let's have a look. I'm like, oh, son, I'm so proud. It was only Master Chief he was pointing at.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I want the green robot. Yes. And then he saw a Noble Six on the back cover and went, ooh, and a blue robot.
Yes.
So. My son spent his pocket money and bought a nuclear submarine.
What?
That must have been a lot of pocket money.
Well, it was,
we're all going to die.
A Lego one, not a real one.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be there, I'll go, here you go, son. Here's a Lego set. But don't you dare touch it, this is Daddy's.
Yeah, I can believe that.
So, I had a similar thing with... didn't want my boys to touch some certain Lego I had, and we got the Lego box down, and somehow I had a Marvel Avengers like Jeep, which ended up in this box with Hawkeye, Loki, and Iron Man, and it was all destroyed, and my soul, I died a bit inside. I was so upset when I saw this. Iron Man is now lost. He had like little blue blocks for his hands and his feet, for his repulsors. Yeah, they're gone. They're completely gone. I don't know where they are now.
See, I've never had any of those issues, because by the time that I'd had my son. I'd moved house that many times that I didn't have a lot of my old sort of childhood toys and everything.
I've got literal bins of it in the loft. Actually, just thinking about it, I've only just remembered this. Phil, do you remember when we were in primary school and we used to sit in the library playing with Lego? And we had a blue and an orange minifigure. And I actually remember putting red wedges on his feet and using Tippex to draw the white stripe and pretending it was Sonic the Hedgehog. Do you remember that?
Very, very vaguely.
I've just thought of that now.
The main thing I remember is making the Lego Mecha at my gran's.
And again, sidetracked. So where are we on now?
Yeah. Well, we're on Lego.
Yeah, we're still talking about Lego. We've decided to take the podcast in a new direction. Welcome to Lego Weekly.
Wego Leakly.
Wego Leakly. Yeah, that's the one.
Bit of a spoonerism. Well, the other thing that we were going to talk about pens quite nicely with last week's podcast, actually.
Yeah, oddly enough, just after we finished playing through Castlevania Symphony of Night, there's a new patch for the Sega Saturn version.
Yes.
Yeah, fan translation.
Yeah, not just a fan translation. It's also got some improvements. So on the Saturn version, one of the main quality of life improvements that you got on the PlayStation in comparison is you couldn't access the map using a single button. You had to go into the menu, wait for it to load, select the map, wait for the map to load. So someone's gone through, they've translated the game using the script from the PlayStation version, added a quick shortcut to your map. They've also increased the size of the FMVs, so they're now full screen. So it looks like quite an impressive patch to the game that they've made. And this is all fans.
Just after we've done our playthrough. Yeah. And isn't this quite a bit of a different game?
Well, the Saturn version had a few extra areas, a few extra items, and an entire new character to play.
It's often considered the best, in quotation marks, version of the game.
Yes, graphically, it takes a hit. Yes, it's nothing massive. It's not formatted properly for the Saturn's screen resolution. It's still as if it's using PlayStation 1. So you get some like slight artifacting where lines aren't quite straight, especially diagonal lines. And it did have some quality of life improvements missing from the PlayStation version, as said, like the quick access to the map. So what this group of people have done is they've actually put these back into the Saturn version. And if you either have an ISO or you can, you know, get one from somewhere, you can actually apply this patch to it and play it on a Sega Saturn that can play backup discs. Had this come out last month, I probably would have played through the Saturn version of Symphony of Night, because I'd never played it before.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I'm quite interested to play through the Saturn version, just because there's extra areas and the like as well.
Yeah. The reason I didn't play through the Saturn version was because of the language barrier. Not so much with the story, because I know the gist of the story. You can play through without knowing it, but going through menus and specifically items.
Yes, it would make items a lot harder. Yeah.
Yes, because obviously getting certain items that you need, you're kind of stuffed. So, it would have been, it wouldn't have had to play that one, because again, this is a game where even though it's the same game, there's more to it. So, you two would also have gone into this game of like a new game sort of thing as well.
Yeah, well, probably 99% of the game would have still been the same.
All right.
It's not dramatically different, it's just got new extras on top of it.
I think the big thing I would have been interested to see is to see how it plays through as Maria.
Yeah, I would have been as well. Because she even plays different from Maria in the PlayStation Portable version as well.
Yeah, I might have to try and get a copy of that somehow.
I'm sure a quick Google search will sort you out.
Drop something you need.
So moving on to our final bit of news for today. Not only is the Mega Drive getting a brand new game in 2021, but so is the Game Boy.
Wow.
And we're talking original DMG-01 Game Boy. Play on your original hardware. The new game, called The Shapeshifter, is currently up on Kickstarter. They're asking for just over £5,000 to fund the game. And as of the recording of this podcast, they've currently sailing right through £30,000 with 39 days to go.
Perfect.
It's quite a lot of interest.
They've hit the budget.
Yeah, yeah. So there's not an awful lot of information about the game itself, but it will see, it's, it looks like it's more of a an RPG adventure game where if you touch an animal, you will become that animal.
Right.
So then you can use these different powers that the animals grant you to solve different puzzles or overcome obstacles that maybe you couldn't do in your normal human form.
Right.
Well, you know, again, it's nice to see another new game coming out for an older console.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to see them getting a bit of love, especially 32 years after the console originally launched.
I definitely think, though, that Kickstarter is the right place for these sort of games to go. You know, they can get the funding initially. The people who are going to be interested in what is ultimately going to be quite a niche do get the funding.
Well, it actually appears that this game is mostly done by the looks of it. And I think they're just going to Kickstarter to actually...
release as a cartridge sort of thing.
Yeah, raise money so that they can actually release it as a physical cartridge. Because they are offering two ways to purchase it. You can buy it as a physical cartridge or you can actually purchase the ROM. So that way you can download it onto like flash cartridge for your Game Boy, or you can even run it through an emulator if you wish.
Okay, so they could have released it as a ROM anyway. They just thought, well, let's try and see if we can put it in a Game Boy.
Yes, they're just giving people the option if they want to buy a physical copy in a box. So prices at the moment is $10 or about £9 if you want to purchase just the ROM. That'll allow you to download it, put it on a flash cartridge, or run it on like your computer using an emulator. For those who want a bit more of an authentic experience, though, they do offer a complete in-box version, which comes with the cartridge and a Game Boy-style box. That'll set you back $35, which is about £31.
Well, that's fair enough, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, compared to the other one from the other week.
much better than the prices for Paprium for the Mega Drive.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. But what are your thoughts? I know we touched on this the other week with Paprium, but what are your thoughts on new games physically being released on older systems?
I mean, I still feel it's a bit niche. I still feel it's possibly... I don't know. I can understand why. I can understand the reasoning behind it. And certainly Kickstarter is a good way to go about it. But I don't know. I'm not sure on it all.
I think they've done the right thing as releasing it as a cartridge and as a ROM as well. So you've got the option to get the ROM and, you know, like I said, put it to a flash card or, do you know what I mean? So you have that option. Obviously, they'll only make so many units off the game, so it'll be a collection thing. And as we say before, we say often, it is a niche thing for certain people. I myself, I wouldn't particularly buy, you know, the cartridge, but, you know, the ROM would be something that, you know, I could go for.
Do you not think it's a good way for small developers, though, to get their games out?
To a degree, yes. Because, you know, there's less development needs to go in there. There's less expectation on an older game system, or an older system even, rather than an older game. I don't know, though.
If they release it as a ROM, do you need to release it as a cartridge?
Well, no, more I was going to say is, if you look at other smaller developers releasing retro-inspired style games, there's not as heavily an emphasis on the graphics, and they get to releasing things like Game Pass, which are brilliant for small developers.
For a lot of those games, though, there is still, although it looks simplistic. If you take, for example, Scott Pilgrim, the graphics on that are actually very well done, very detailed, even though they do look like an old 16-bit or 32-bit game.
Yeah.
The effort going into something like that is significantly higher than what would go into, say, a Game Boy game like this.
What about something like IDARP?
Well, IDARP, you just make your own characters, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, but that's my point. You can bring out simplistic-looking games
that do well,
that can do okay, that can go into things like Game Pass. So I can understand it. I can certainly understand the challenge of wanting to build something with hardware restrictions in place.
I think it makes you more creative, though, possibly, if you use those restrictions.
Yeah,
build within those restrictions, sorry. I remember, like, many years ago using a piece of software called The Game Factory, was it?
I think that one rings a bell, yeah.
And Multimedia Fusion. I was not, and I am not a game designer. So the first thing I did on that was just chuck hundreds of enemies onto a stage straight away. Because although the game and the graphics that I was making were like very simplistic, I still had the power of, at the time, a modern PC behind it. Whereas if you're making a game on, say, an older console, you know, you've got to think of, well, I only have a limit of so many sprites. Each sprite can only be such a size. I can only have so many sprites on a single line at a time. So you've got to build around them. And I do think that would be something that would make you a better game developer going forward.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I can understand that.
Plus, there's definitely people who want to play on their old consoles. I love bringing down my old Amiga, my old Mega Drive, and playing games on them.
Well, you recently got an old Game Boy, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I've got an old Game Boy. I've got a lot of old consoles, and I do love playing the games on those consoles.
But is a new game an appeal to you? That's the question.
It's as much of an appeal to me as it would have been back in the day. It depends on the game. If it's a sports game, it's not the type of game that will interest me. If it's a new RPG or like Paprium, a new side-scrolling beat-em-up, yeah, that is something that would appeal to me.
Fair enough.
I think you'll always be depending on the game, like Barry said. You know,
absolutely.
It would always be depending on the game and what they're releasing.
But no, if say, for example, someone brought out a new... I'm quite partial to 8-bit RPGs. If someone brought out a new one on the Sega Master System, and I could buy it as a physical cartridge, I would probably buy it as that cartridge if it looked like it was a good game, pull out my Master System, and actually play it on the original hardware as intended. There's something I enjoy about that.
Fair enough.
I have a lot of ROMs on my computer, but I never tend to get into them. Not only ROMs, but even on like compilation discs. For example, I've got one on the Switch, which has got about 30 plus Mega Drive games. And I've dipped into a few of them, but I haven't really played them through to completion. I don't know what it is about not playing it on the original hardware.
I guess you could look at it as in you've not got the controller. You know, you're using the PC control, using the keyboard and mouse. You're not using the actual controller that came.
No, it's not even that. I have USB Sega Saturn controllers, which are very similar to Mega Drive controllers. And playing Mega Drive or Saturn games on the PC just isn't the same. I can't actually explain what it is, but I would much rather sit down and say play a game on the Amiga, putting the disc in, feeling like the clunk of the disc being taken into the system, hearing the horrible loading sounds that it makes as it sounds like it's about to die.
Realize it's not seated properly, pull it out.
Yeah, waiting forever for it to load, but then getting into the game and playing it with those horrible mics that don't quite go in the direction you want them to. I don't know, all of it together is an experience.
Yeah.
It's not just the play in the game, it's the original hardware as well. Whereas if I just load up an emulator and play, I don't know, Lemmings on an Amiga emulator with a modern mouse, modern keyboard, instant loading, you know, automatic disk swapping, it's not the same. I suppose a lot of it's nostalgia. When I'm playing it, I am taken back to when I was much younger. I didn't have any of life's worries really, and it does take me back to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a level of that. I can appreciate that.
And to be honest, any excuse to go up in the loft and bring one of my new one of my old consoles down, it's always appreciated, whether it's a new game or something else, you know. Oh, but, you know, I just spent this money on... Yeah, and I know I should be spending money on our son, but no, I've spent it on this game instead for this 30-year-old console. So now I'm obviously going to have to go up and pull the consoles down, Otherwise, it's just a waste of money.
Well,
has that excuse ever worked?
No.
Wait, hang on. You actually made an excuse. I thought you normally just did it and asked for forgiveness later.
I just do it, and when the other half looks at me and goes, how long have you had that? I go, ah, I've always had it.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you don't use the excuse, it's Phil's, you bought it.
Yeah, it's Phil's, he's just keeping it in my house.
Hopefully this will never get back to, but, you know, I've done it a couple of times on my missus and it's worked.
Yeah, I've done it once or twice or 100 times. Well, I think that's all the news that we've got today. So, I think before my other half finds out what I've been doing for the last decade, I think we should call it quits, yeah?
Yeah. Stop quickly.
Well, thanks for joining us, and thanks for everyone out there listening. We'll see you next week.